on renormalization theory, in perturbation theory, and to discuss the issue of renormalization group, what it means, what are renormalization group equations, in the context of the 5-4 theory, massless case, just one loop. And after that, if I have time, I will discuss a bit more some aspects of the general theory of renormalization, which would require a whole course, but so I will just explain you why this works. Okay. So first, reminders. We want to consider the massless 5-4 interacting theory in four dimensions. We are in the Euclidean theory, but all what I'm going to do is easily translated to theory in Minkowski space, and in particular, all the definition of what are the renormalized coupling constant with respect to the bare coupling constant. The results are independent of whether you work in Euclidean or Minkowski space. Okay. So remember, we want to start from a theory, construct a theory by functional integral methods, but this can be done in canonical quantization. And so our SIP allows us to compute, to calculate at one loop the correlation function, and so the irreducible one-point function that are the basic building blocks. So we want, we introduce a cutoff, ultraviolet cutoff. Here we assume that basically all the momenta larger than this big scale are neglected, are not there. And we want to build a theory such that all the irreducible functions, one particle irreducible functions, are finite in the limit when lambda goes to infinity, so in the continuum limit. Okay. And now, in order to do this, we are going to fix some renormalization condition. So what we did yesterday was we fixed normalization conditions. The first condition is that the two-point function gamma 2 irreducible of P of one momenta, so this is the irreducible two-point function, which is a function of the incoming momentum P, is correspond to a massless theory, so we want it to be to behave like P squared at P equals zero. So we want it to have want it to be equal to zero. That's a massless, the fact that it's a massless theory. So this is a mass renormalization condition. Okay? In fact, there is hidden here a second renormalization condition, which is we have a coefficient here which is one. So this is the fact that it is zero is a mass renormalization condition. And implicit here, the fact that the coefficient here, one, as for the free field theory, is a field renormalization condition. But it's somehow trivial at one loop for 5-4, but it's there. Okay. Now, more important, we have a renormalization condition for the four-point function. So we choose a renormalization scale. It's called mu. So this is a mass scale, momentum scale, if you prefer. This is a momentum scale, mu. We choose this one. And we define, then we define the renormalized, or if you want, we call the renormalized coupling that we call GR for renormalized as the value of the irreducible four-point function at some specific momenta, specific value of the momenta. So we can call this P1RR up to P4R for reference, where the momenta PR, so PIR, I equal 1 to 4, are of order mu. So we have here we had the content that the two-point function, the irreducible two-point function at p equals 0 is 0, and we have we define this to be GR, and the PIs are equal to the PIs reference or renormalization. And specifically, we choose, because it's convenience, the reference is P1 plus P2 squared equal P2 plus P3 squared equal P, no, I'm sorry, this is equal P1 plus P3 equal P1 plus P4 squared equal mu squared. So that's an example. But you can, this is our choice, but can take others. Okay? And the result won't change. Okay? And of course, then it's finite. Okay? And once we have chosen this renormalization condition, we have shown that by calculation that at one loop, all gamma k irreducible are finite for any value of the momenta if we choose for action in the functional integral a renormalized action which is of the form integral d4x a over 2 d phi squared plus b over 2 phi squared plus c over factorial 4 phi to the 4, where a can be taken to be 1 as for the free theory. Yes?
If you have many couplings, can you...
Pardon?
If you have many couplings in your theory.
Yes.
Can you choose a different renormalization scale for each coupling?
A priori, yes, but and then you can play with those different. But they have to be, you know, of order 1. You cannot, if you take one to be, go to infinity while the other is finite. Yeah, you have a huge liberty of renormalization scheme. But everything will be encoded in what's called the renormalization group equation. But that's an interesting question, so I'm going to try to discuss it at the end of the course. I have time. Okay. So let's go back to this. So we have seen that we have to take A equal 1. We have to take a coefficient B, which is minus GR squared, and if I'm GR, and if I'm if I remember well, there is a 1/2, 1/4 pi squared lambda squared. It's a bad sign if I knew this by heart. And then, most interestingly, the renormalization of coupling constant here, the coefficient C. So C is GR, and there is a minus. You have to subtract the divergence. So it's, I don't know, I think it's a plus GR squared. There is a 3/2. There is 1/4 pi squared. And then there is a log of lambda squared divided by mu squared. Okay, let me just check that my coefficients are correct. Yes. Okay, and that's enough. So we don't have to introduce the additional terms. So if we do this, the theory is... So this makes the job. This means that the theory is renormalizable in four dimensions at one loop. Okay. So, and we have seen that, of course, with this choice, the renormalized two-point function. Of P, just P squared plus term, plus two loop terms that we neglect. And the four-point function normalized, the PIs is G. This is a classical result, GR. And then it's minus GR squared over 2. And the coefficient of the amplitudes of the diagrams where we have subtracted the divergence. So we get a 1/4 pi squared log. And I just have to check the sign. So this is log of mu squared divided by P1 plus P2 squared plus the same thing where you replace 1, 2, 3 plus the same thing with the momentum 1 and 4. I write this in a specific schematic way. This is this quantity where P1 and P2 are replaced by P1 and P3 and by P1 and P4. Okay, is it clear? Okay. So, and then the gamma k renormalized function of pi for the higher order one loop are just the ordinary pi, which are given by the one loop diagram. We do not require any renormalization because they are ultraviolet finite. This is one loop. Result. And here, of course, you have two loop terms that we neglect. Okay. So, now we discussed the fact that what is the physical meaning of having this renormalization scale, which seems to indicate that the renormalized theory depends on two parameters, the renormalized coupling constant and mu. But from this definition, so at the P's reference over the mu, so from this definition, coupling constant, the renormalized coupling constant, you see it's just that for a given theory, so for a given choice of the renormalized action, so A, B, and C being fixed at that order, choosing a different renormalization scales leads to a different renormalized coupling for the same theory. you see that the coefficient C here, you can fix C. And if you change mu, you have to adjust G renormalized in a very specific way. So this means simply that GR is means is the effective, if you want, the effective coupling at energy momentum scale mu. And in the quantum theory, this GR depends on mu. Okay? Which is something new. It's a classical theory. Is scale invariant, which means that the coupling constant, the classical coupling constant, has a dimension of a mass, if you want, or a length to the power zero. So it doesn't depend on the scale. But in the quantum theory, with this precise definition, it depends on mu. Okay, so this was a reminder of yesterday. And now I'm going to discuss what are the consequences of this. Okay. And then I'm going to discuss a bit the massive theory. I'm going to discuss general theory of normalization, but I'm not following the order of the lecture notes. I'm going to discuss first this. Yes?
You said mass renormalization condition. Is that the mass, physical mass is zero, or that A can be set equal to zero?
The physical mass is zero here. This means that the physical mass is zero. Because the two-point function vanishes at P equals zero. So that's what I meant by massless. The physical theory is massless.
And then can we always set A equals 1?
Pardon?
When we set A equals 1?
Yeah.
Can we always do that? Or is it just because this is a particularly nice theory?
It's a particularly nice theory and... Well, no, it's just a question of normalization. It depends on what you call the field. You know, imagine that you define a new field instead of dealing with... Well, let me write this here. Instead of considering a field phi of x, I consider the field phi prime of x, which is, I don't know, 2 times phi of x. Yeah. Then you can compute the expected, with the same action, you can compute the two-point function. Why? You take a Fourier transform, you get, you go to the irreducible. Okay, so of course, the connected two-point function is going to be 4 times phi of x, phi of y. And therefore, the irreducible two-point function, which is the inverse. So this means in momentum space, the two-point function is going to be 4 divided by p squared. So the new prime is going to be 1/4. P squared. So you see that fixing the coefficient here to be 1 is just choosing a normalization for the field operator. Okay. The field operator is one operator of the theory, but it's not, you cannot measure the value of the field at a given point in energy physics. What you can measure is basically first masses of particles and scattering amplitudes and resonances. And this normalization, the normalization of the field, disappear between numerator and denominator when you compute, for instance, the S matrix element using the LSZ formula. So So this normalization is. Okay. In the physical S matrix elements. Okay. So if you look at the LSZ reduction formula, or in the Chalon-Lehmann representation for the two-point function, you realize that the normalization disappears when you want to extract physical quantities like the mass of the particle, spectral density, the state, etc., etc. Okay. Okay, so now I'm going to discuss what does this mean. This. So we discussed this already a bit lengthily yesterday. We have seen that if we plot the value of the renormalized coupling as a function of the renormalization scale, let's write log of mu, simplicity, because log of mu appears, you see that either in this formula or in this formula, if you increase mu, this becomes larger. So in order to get the same thing here, GR has to become larger, so that since there is a minus sign, this compensates. So basically, the same theory is described, so given theory, given by an SR, a renormalization which is fixed, the coefficients here are kept fixed, is described at different energy scale by different value of the renormalized coupling. Okay? While different theory, different physical theory, lies on different curves. Okay? If you have a bit, you know, mathematically inclined, you can view the space of massless 5-4 series as a one-dimensional manifold. See, so if each line represents a point, you have a manifold where you have a set of series. This is theory one, this is theory two, this is theory three. Because you have only a one-dimensional family of theories, so you have a space of massless theory, which is a one-dimensional manifold, and you can view the choice of mu, and therefore as the choice of coordinate system in this space. See? And the GR is the coordinate in the system given by mu. So in some sense, that's not so. If you view this like this, that's easy. It's not different, for instance, that measuring temperature. You can choose whether you express temperature in Celsius degrees, and that's what I'm used to, or to Fahrenheit, and I never remember what it is, or in Kelvin, which is fine too. Of course, you get different temperature, but the temperature of your system is the same. The K kinetic energy of the particle in the grass, the same, the entropy is the same, simply the temperature depends on the coordinates. So that's the same, in fact. Nothing surprising to this. And oh, maybe then I can reply, already say a word about your question. If you have a theory that depends on several coupling constants, like in the standard model where you have different couplings, well, then you have different coordinate systems. And the different choice of coordinate system, you can mix the couplings. You can call some couplings or combination of couplings. And this is going to correspond to different choice of renormalization scale for the different couplings. And you can then you can, if you are in a two-dimensional space or in a three-dimensional space, then you can you have a very rich structure of choice of local coordinate system. Okay. Okay. So now, well, maybe I should just. The question is, how does this change with mu? Well, it's contained in this formula. So a natural question that one may ask is, okay, so three question. How, for a fixed physical theory, how does GR changes with mu, the renormalization scale? You see that it increases with mu. Okay. So of course, the answer is in this relation, or is in this relation. So the way physicists are used to study this question is just, of course, by making a small variation. So making giving a differential form of this variation. So you see, imagine you start from a renormalization scale mu of the theory, which with this choice of renormalization mu is given by GR. And now consider for the same theory a mu prime, which is mu plus some small variation of delta mu. So the same theory will be described by a GR prime, which is GR plus some variation of GR. I'm just here making an infinitesimal variation and asking what is infinitesimal variation here. Okay, so you can, it's easy, you just write the differential form of this. So you write, for instance, that either delta of the four-point irreducible function for fixed momenta, you write that this doesn't change when you change mu and gr, or equivalently, you want that this doesn't change when lambda is fixed and when change. And what you get is that the variation of GR is just, so since GR depends on log of mu, it's not surprising that you get delta mu divided by mu. This is a variation of the logarithm of mu. And you write delta gr. So this is delta gr plus gr times 3 delta gr. So what you get is three over 4 pi squared gr squared. Okay. Just take the variation of this. Okay. plus, of course, terms. But we, this is one loop calculation. Okay? So this equation does just mean that it's a different form. Say, if I make a change in mu, this is a change in gr that describes the same theory. Okay. So in other words, it gives you what is the equation for this curve. So it tells you that this curve is just the curve gr equal gr of mu for a fixed theory in the g mu plane is just the flow, it's just a curve generated by vector flow, which satisfies this equation. So I just now make the difference. It's just that mu dgr mu divided by d mu equals 3 over 4 pi squared gr squared of mu. Because once you have, you did that here, you can repeat this here, 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 and here. You can do this everywhere. So this was your original mu and your original gr. But if you have another mu here, you have gr of mu. So this is the flow equation. And that's called the renormalization group flow equation. So, first a question of notation. This quantity, this function, is generally called the beta function for gr of mu. This is called the beta function for the coupling gr. So this is a physicist denomination. And there is no better reason for this to be called beta. Let me just, that it's, well, there was, it was written in some of the seminal paper on the subject. This function was called beta. There was a function was called alpha, another beta, another gamma, and this turns out to be the most important one. So it's called beta. Yes?
Please re-explain the orange box on the left, how you...
Yes. You want me to derive this?
Not just, yeah? No. But just say the
pardon?
Of, just say the origin of each term, because...
Well, like, you just take this one. Just take this. And I want to find a variation. I want to find a delta gr and a delta mu, so that delta c is zero, because I'm not changing the coefficient of the bare action. Okay. Well, I write just that zero, the variation of C, is delta gr times 1 plus 3 gr, 1 over 4 pi squared, log of lambda squared divided by mu squared, plus delta mu divided by mu, because this is a variation of the log. And then, okay, this, there is a log which is minus 2 log of mu, so I get minus gr squared. The 3 disappears, so I get 3 over 4 pi squared. Okay? So this has to be equal to 0. So then I can rewrite this as, this is equivalent to delta gr equal delta mu divided by mu, gr squared 3 divided by 4 pi squared, divided by this, 3 gr 1 over 4 pi squared log of lambda squared divided by mu squared to the power minus 1. So I'm doing an g expansion in the randomized coupling constant, so this is 1 minus gr, but this is a higher order contribution. So this is a contribution that comes from the one loop diagram, because it's gr squared. Well, this is, in fact, this corresponds to one of the term of the two loops term, because it's the order gr cube. Okay. So if I'm keeping at one loop, I neglect this. And if I wanted to do the calculation in a fully consistent way at two loop, there is this term, which you might not like because it has a log of lambda squared. But there is also in a correlation function in this, so for instance, in this definition, there is a two loop term that contains also some logs. And if you do the calculation consistently, you are going to get a gr squared correction, but with no logs and low mu, which is going to be the two loop correction to the beta function.
Gr cube.
Which will be in gr cube. And somewhere I have, well, this has been computed a long time ago. So this is a beta function at one loop. So this is not an exact result for phi 4. This is just the first order term in the beta function. Okay. So in fact, this equation is often denoted the Callan-Simoncic equation. Well, the Callan-Simoncic equation is not this one, but it's related. So this is the renormalization group flow equation. So why is it called a group? In fact, this is a semi-group. It's simply because if you make a change of mu, you see, and then another change of mu, this is additive in log mu for a very simple reason. Session transformation. It's simply that if you start from a mu naught and then you change mu naught into some, I don't know, some scale transformation S, well, let me S minus mu naught, which is mu 1. I get a S 1. And then I go to S 2 minus 1 of mu 1, which is S 2 times S 1. Minus 1 on mu 0. Here you have a transformation. Here you have a second transformation. But this second transformation is just a transformation of the product. So it has a structure of a group. Very simple group, the group of multiplication. OK. So now, let me see what are the consequences of this equation, the fact that there is such an equation. First, changing, I'm going to show, that's very simple, that if you know how the randomization, the coupling constant, the randomized coupling constants change when you change the scale, you may deduce how the correlation function of the theory changes with the energy. So we can do a change on the scale of the, so let's say, rather say, can make a scaling transformation on the external momenta. Namely, you change the energies of your particle. And this requires just dimensional analysis and the solution of this equation. So let me show this on this example. I consider the four-point function, the renormalized function of the momenta pi. Okay. So this four-point function, whose expression is valence, those are a function of the pi's, the external momenta. They are a function of the renormalized coupling and of the renormalization scale. This is an expression. Okay. But of course, you see that in fact they depend on this in a very simple way. They are only a function of the pi's divided by mu, because this is dimensionless, and gr. Okay. And this just the fact that this takes this place replaces two things. It means that the pi's have dimensions of the same dimension of mu, and that the gamma 4 has dimension of mu to the power 0. It's a dimensionless number. So it has to. And gr, of course, is dimensionless. Both are dimensionless. Gr is a pure number. Okay. So now let's ask a question. What happens if we rescale? So let's rescale the pi's into the pi's divided by s, with s so scale factor. Okay. So if s is large, the momenta, I'm going to smaller momenta. So lower energy, largest distance. So small energy, large distance. I'm probing the theory at larger distance and at lower energy. Okay. So now I want to compare this with a four-point function. Renormalized four-point function for the same theory, but for momenta pi divided by s, gr and mu. Okay. Well, since this is this expression, divided pi by s is the same thing that multiply mu by s. So this is nothing but the same function for the original PIs, GR, but for a new mu, which is mu S. Okay? But now I know from this flow equation that changing mu can be recasted into a change of GR. So I can rewrite this as gamma 4. Renormalized of the theory where the momenta are not changed. Mu is not changed, but gr is changed into a new gr, which I'm going gr of s. Okay. So, rescaling the momenta is equivalent to change the coupling. Okay. This is it? Yeah?
probability, the one on the top,
yes,
implicitly depend on mu or not?
No, no, here. I fix mu, I fix gr, and I consider the four-point function that I've calculated explicitly. This expression, which we computed yesterday. Okay, so, and now I change the PIs. And from this expression, you can see that since this expression is in fact the function of the PI divided by mu of gr, it's a function just of this variable, then this is the same as this. I just switch the mu from the PIs to the S to mu. So this is so this first part is trivial. That's just dimensional analysis. Okay, that's trivial. This part is non-trivial. It's a renormalization group analysis. So it comes from the calculation we did here. So this is just dimensional analysis. This is the result of renormalization calculation. Okay?
So on the middle, on side, gr is like the coupling at energy mu times.
Yeah, so the interpretation, yeah, you are right. So the interpretation of that is a function. So this quantity that I want, this gr of s is just nothing but the effective coupling. It is also called the running coupling. Running. Running coupling at an energy E equal mu times S. Well, no, you have rescale S. So at energy mu divided by S, lower the energy. So when I make I make change energy A to E divided by S, because I'm changing the momenta, gr of S is the effective coupling at those energy, under those energy. We start at some given choice of the momenta to have coupling gr. Then we get an effective coupling gr of S. So now, so if we know this flow, you know this flow. Now you solve this equation, and remember, in this first equation, we wanted to change both gr and mu, so that this doesn't change. Here, we want not to change gr, but we want to change mu. So a bit of calculation shows you that this gr of s is not the gr of mu here, it's something different. It's just given by a differential equation, which is s d over ds of g of s. Well, let's call this g effective rather than gr, so that we. Okay. Because otherwise the denomination g renormalized. So I call, when I make this change, g becomes the g effective of s. Okay? I think that's better. It's not the one I have in my notes, but I think that's a much better. G effective of s, given by the fact that this should be equal to this. So once again, you take the expression, you have the mu, you change mu into mu s, and you want to absorb, change gr into g effective, so that this is equal to this, and you end up with the equation that's the logarithmic derivative of g effective of s is minus if I am not mistaken, minus the beta function, the same beta function of G effective of S. Okay. This is the beta function we have computed. Okay. So you see the only difference is that here we study how the renormalized coupling changes with the choice of renormalization scale for a given physical theory. Here we are looking at how the effective coupling changes with the rescaling, not of the momenta, but of the position, because we divide the momenta by S. So we are making a scale factor in position space, if you want. Because changing P into P divided S momenta into P divided by S is equivalent to changing the positions by X times S. So large S corresponds to studying the theory at large distance. So instead of rescaling the energy, we rescale the distance. This explains why there is a minus sign. So the minus sign here is just because we are rescaling the distances. Okay? So that's the same equation, but expressed when we change the distance scale instead of the energy scale. Okay? And tomorrow, I'm going to show that this is nothing but perfectly equivalent to the Wilsonian renormalization group flow equation that you have studied in statistical mechanics. In the theory of critical phenomena and of phase transition. So we have to remain this. We have, there is a minus sign. Because we rescale the distances, if you want, instead of the energy scale. But that's the same equation. Okay. And so you see that that's another way to see that the coupling constants are effective and are running with the energy. They change with the energy. Yes?
What's the difference between Wilsonian renormalization and the scheme that we've used?
What's the difference between what?
Wilsonian renormalization.
I'm going to explain that tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
In more detail. Yeah. There are two different ways to compute the same thing. But okay, I prefer to explain that tomorrow or maybe just at the end. Oh, but tomorrow, yeah, you'll see that. Wait a bit. Wait. Okay. Mathematically, it's the same thing, and physically, it corresponds to view. You have two different points on the physical system. And in statistical mechanics, you are asking some question. In high energy physics, you are asking some other questions. But the mathematics underlying the theory of renormalization is, in fact, the same. Okay, so once you have this equation, you see, when you renormalize you change the pi of s, you can write a differential equation on the four-point function or the n-point function by changing the momenta. These equations are called the Callan-Simoncic equation. So if you take this is a side remark. Write what is S d over ds of a four-point function when you rescale the pi by S. And here you see that this is just a change in S. So this is equivalent to write, but maybe I should write it. Callan-Simons equation. You are interested in, well, that's one form of Callan-Simons. Original, if you look at the original paper by Callan and Simancic, that's something slightly different because they deal with the massive theory, the massless theory. You can write that S d over ds, the four-point function of the momenta divided by S, gr, and mu. This is the right-hand side of this. And if I take the derivative with respect to S of the left-hand side of this, I get a derivative of G times the derivative of G with respect to S. So I get plus beta function of GR, the partial derivative with respect to the coupling constant of the four-point function of pi divided by S GR. U equals zero. Okay. So this is an this is a differential form of this equation, and it's called the Callan-Simancic renormalization group flow equation. Okay. Okay. So what can I say now? Yes.
Second part of the left hand side, you have the arguments are not the one on the right, but the one on the left. But because if we do the rear.
Oh, no, that's because if you say it at s equal 1, let's say, you derive this, that's the form of the equation at s equal 1, if you want. So I go from 1, I go from s equal 1 to s equal 1 plus delta s. Divided by S, because S equal 1. So that's the differential form of this. Okay. Or if you prefer, you can write this as a differential form over the different derivation with all the PIs. You see, that's, yeah. So you can write this and that set S equal 1. And it tells you how, when you make a small variation of pi, you make, okay? It's just a differential form of the right blackboard side equation. Okay.
Which equality have you?
I took this equal this. I differentiate with respect to S. So the right hand side is this. The left hand side is minus this. So, yeah?
If you're setting S equal 1, why do you need the S in the left-hand side?
In this one? No, that's because I'm rescaling all the momenta by a factor P, by a factor 1 over S. So in the left-hand side, I rescale all the momenta. The right-hand side, I change the coordinate system, the coupling constant. Okay. Well, it's. I just wanted to mention that if you in the literature, in the books, when you will meet the Callan-Simancic equation, it's this kind of equation that just are the differential form of this relation. The important point in any case is this relation. we tell you how the effective coupling constant scales, changes when you make a rescaling of the distances or an inverse rescaling of the energies of the theory. Okay. Okay, so I hope to have convinced you that in this quantum field theory, the effect, the coupling constant, the effective coupling constant that measures the strength of interaction changes with the energy. They change according to this kind of formula. And the differential form is very simple because they take this, either this formula or this formula. When you change the scale, the couplings change according to a vector flow whose generator are the beta function. So here it's particularly simple, but it's especially simple in because we have one coupling, but this is going to be general. So now let's see what is this flow? What are the properties of this flow? Of this flow for phi 4, four dimension and massless. Okay. Well, this is an equation that we can easily solve at one loop. Because at one loop, the equation is that S d ds of g effective equal minus beta of g effective. So this is minus some quantity. Let me call it just b. That's the first coefficient of the beta function, times g effective squared. B, 3 over 4 pi squared. And the important point is that it is strictly positive. Okay. So of course, I can solve that by writing that d of g effective divided by g effective squared is ds over s. Okay, so if I start at s equal 1 from some original theory g0, I get that g effective of s is g effective divided by 1, and if I am not mistaken, less notes. Minus this this positive coefficient, g effective. Well, plus, there is a plus. Log of s. Okay, it's just a solution. I'm sorry. This is the original g, g0. If I state, I assume that s equal 1, g effective is equal to g0. This is the original coupling. G effective is the effective coupling at scale s. Yes?
Does Kalman's magic equation only hold at one loop, right?
Yeah, this is an equation at one. No, this is general. This is. In fact, it turns out that this is a general equation. Well, up to, this is a general equation up to field renormalization. So this equation is going to be a general equation when you incorporate the higher loop correction to the beta function. So I derived it one loop because I did the explicit result.
But if you have field renormalization, the dimensional analysis breaks down, right?
Pardon?
The dimensional analysis breaks down, right?
No. The dimensional analysis doesn't break down because at any, imagine that you have, been able to renormalize the theory and to compute the renormalized function at an arbitrary order. In any case, the PIs have the momenta have the dimension of S, and the renormalized coupling is dimensionless. So this argument stays valid.
Even with field renormalization?
Pardon?
Even with field renormalization?
With field renormalization, there is an additional term here, which is proportional to gamma 4 that I'm not going to discuss at that stage. Yeah. So up to field renormalization, this equation is valid. If you take into account field renormalization, you have to add to this a 4 times a gamma function gr times gamma 4. So you have an additional term for field renormalization. I'm not sure it's whether it's gamma or minus gamma over 2. We have another function. Another function here, but which vanishes at one loop in phi 4. I'm going to discuss that tomorrow when I discuss the connection with Wilsonian. Okay, so let's go back to this. I integrate this equation. This is elementary algebra. I get this result with this coefficient, which is positive. And so you see that for phi 4, you get two important remarks. If S goes to infinity, it means that I'm going to very low energies. Or large distances. G effective of S goes to 0 because this term becomes large. G effective of S goes to 0, which means that the theory becomes weakly coupled. The theory is called weakly coupled in the infrared regime, because that's low energy. So the theory is said to be asymptotically free in the infrared. So this is infrared, if you want freedom. OK. But now something more annoying occurs. At high energy. When S becomes much more smaller than 1, which means high energies, small distances. This term is negative, so this becomes small. And the effective coupling grows. So the theory is strongly coupled in the ultraviolet regime. And from this formula, the situation is even worse. You see that there is some scale where this denominator vanishes. So there is an S. If you want, there is an S critical, which is given by, at this order, by exponential 1 over b. Times 1 over gr, the renormalized the g, the original coupling, g0, where g effective becomes infinite. So it means that there is a very large but finite energy, where the theory is strongly coupled and diverges. Everything blows up. So this is very problematic. Okay? And this is a problem that has been pointed in such a kind of theory, first by Landau and other Russian physicists in the 50s, 60s. And because well, the fact that there is a singularity here means, if you work out a little bit what this means for some theory, means that there is a breakdown of unitarity. And you have the appearance, if you make some phenomenological analysis, you have the appearance of particles of excitation with a negative probability. So you have negative probabilities. In other words, you are what people like now to call ghosts. Okay. So this is a problem for phi to the 4 theory. It means that the phi 4 theory is well defined at large distance, but it's not well defined at high energies. It's also a problem for QED, in fact, because the beta function, so that describes the renormalization of the scale for QED, has the same sign. And it's a problem from the Higgs X sector, the standard model. Okay. Yes?
Is it known that the singularity exists in higher orders?
Yes. Pardon?
To all orders, the singularity exists.
Oh, another thing's interesting. You see that you have an exponential of 1 over g. So you see that this, oh, there is a minus, I think. There is an S zero. Of course, there is a minus. Sorry. Look at the pole, and this is a minus. That's very important. So you see that you have exponential of minus something 1 over g naught. So if you want to compute this in perturbation theory, this is 0 plus g, 0, 0, plus 0, plus 0. So this is a function which is perfectly well defined when g is positive, but which has a 0 Taylor expansion. It's infinitely flat. All its derivative vanishes at 0 plus. So it's a function which, if you want to plot this function as a function of g0, it's a function which like that, but it's, in some sense, it, at the origin, it's infinitely flat. All derivatives are zero. You see? So you cannot see this problem at any order in perturbation theory. So all the Feynman diagrams of the theory, all when you compute amplitudes, you know, scattering amplitudes, element of S matrix in perturbation theory for finite P, you don't see this problem. You see this problem when you study the flow by renormalization group. You see? Because you can see that G effective of S, imagine. You have this formula, imagine you expand it in G naught. You have a series of G naught with logs, and everything is well defined. It's only when you resum the series in G naught that you see the problem. So you need to have the infinite series of terms to see the problem. Yes?
But if you compute the beta function to two loop orders,
yes,
you're going to modify the renormalization equation.
It's modify a bit the renormalization, but the problem won't disappear. or the problem won't disappear. It could disappear, but it could disappear only if there was a fixed point in the beta function, the zero. But I'm going to discuss that later, tomorrow, I think. Okay. So this phenomenon is non-perturbative, if you want. It's non-perturbative. You see it by your one-loop calculation, because the renormalization group equation allows you to resum an infinite series of log. To resum an infinite number of terms of perturbation theory. But the renormalization group equations make this possible. Because that's when I integrate this equation that I get this. Okay, so now, of course, well, you have heard, I'm sure, already, that for non-abelian gauge theories, for Young-Mills theories, for the, not the X sector, but the electroweak sector of the standard model, the beta function. So there is a coupling constant, but the beta function is minus some positive number times g squared. It's b positive. So we have a negative sign. Okay. And in this case, this stays valid, but here there is a minus sign. Beta function is negative. Beta function is something like that, as a function of the coupling constant. Okay. So this means that the opposite is true. You have high energy freedom, or what's called asymptotic freedom. In the ultraviolet at high energy. And it's at the in the infrared regime that you have what's called infrared slavery. Because in Young-Mills theory, the coupling, the charge, effective charge becomes large. And since quark, you have quarks and antiquarks, and they can attract each other, they become strongly bounded, tau energy. So that leads to the phenomenon of confinement. It's not a proof at all. There is not yet any mathematical proof that confinement occurs, but 99.9% of the physicists believe that this is true, because there are a lot of experimental, first experimental and then phenomenological, theoretical evidence. But there is no proof that there is confinement. But the fact that there is confinement is a consequence of the fact that the beta function is negative. The couplings between quarks mediated by the gauge interaction become strong when the quarks come apart, and therefore they cannot be liberated. Well, for the simple gauge theories that we know. They can only be liberated if you create a pair of quark-antiquarks so that you liberate the mesons or the baryons. Okay. But that's a calculation we are going to discuss a bit later. Okay, so I still have 5 to 10 minutes. So. What could I say? Okay, so let me just then say a word on the renormalization of the massive theory. Massive theory, I would probably just need this. my seventh. Well, I think I will just need this. Okay, so let me have one. Well, no, that's okay. The needle here, but I need the massive theory. Four. Again at one loop. For the massive theory, of course, what you want is that you want that the now the four-point function has a pole at p squared equal minus m squared. So I want to have that the irreducible four-point function 2p irreducible. But it's inverse, so I want it to have a zero at p squared equal minus m physical squared. Okay, remember? So that the green function correlate the connected green function of p behaves like 1 over p squared minus plus m physical squared at p squared close to minus m physical squared. So I want to enforce two things. First, that there is this pole here. And first, that this still have this coefficient 1. Which is a field normalization. OK. So you have to work out a bit more. And in fact, you could be, you know, it's quite easy to see that in order to have a theory with a physical mass which is non-zero, you only have to change the B coefficient. Because the C coefficients deals with the ultraviolet singularities in the four-point function. And this ultraviolet singularity, the log of lambda in the four-point function, doesn't depend on the fact that the propagator inside this diagram, these diagrams, see, it's a bubble diagram, here is like a log of lambda in four dimensions. But this is completely independent of the fact that you have massless or massive propagator. Because they have the same high momentum behavior. They always behave like 1 over p squared. OK. So the answer is that we only, in order to have this, we only need an additional term for the mass renormalization. Which is this coefficient B. Okay. So let me just give the result. That's a calculation that you might do in tutorial or homework. Okay. So now I have to introduce this renormalized mass. I have to introduce mu, which is this renormalization scale. And I have introduced a new renormalized parameter, which is the renormalized mass squared parameter. So now I have two parameters. Because of course, my theory now it depends on two physical parameters, the coupling and the mass. Okay, and we have to take into account the fact that when you compute this one loop diagram, which is integral d4k divided, okay, 2 pi to the power 4, 1 over k squared plus some m squared, it has a leading divergence, which is quadratic. But if you assume that there is a small mass and expand in the mass, you can write this as, you can write this as 1 over k squared minus m squared
divided by k to the 4 plus, etc. Make a perturbation in the mass. This gives a lambda squared divergence, the one we have been studied. But this is a d4k over k squared. So this gives an additional minus m squared log of lambda. So there is a logarithmic divergence in this diagram when the theory is massive. And so you have to additional an additional counter term, which will be a log of lambda. And you need the renormalization scale 2 for this term, because you need to subtract by your log of lambda divided by mu. Okay. So final result. A is unchanged, still 1. C is unchanged. This is still gr minus gr squared 3 over 4 pi squared plus log of lambda squared by mu squared. But B is changed, and B is gr. Then you have the first term, which is minus 1 over 2 times 1 over 4 pi squared lambda squared. And then you have to add a term which is proportional to the mass, when the mass is non-zero. So it's going to be a contribution proportional to this renormalized mass squared parameter. And this one, I don't know it by heart. So it's a plus. Well, there is a 1 half and a 1 over 4 pi squared, because this is the same logarithmic divergence than here. And you get a log of lambda squared divided by mu squared. OK. So this is a new term. Required for the massive theory. OK. And you see that everything is fine, because B has a dimension of a mass. So GR is dimensionless. Here you have a lambda squared, which is a momentum cut off squared. Here you have a log, which is dimensionless. And here you have the renormalized mass, which has a dimension of a mass squared. OK. And you see that when you set MR equal to 0, this term disappears. OK. And well, you work a bit of that, and you get the results. What is the physical mass squared for a theory with those counter terms, those actions? You get this is mr squared. And then you get a correction, one loop correction proportional to gr. And this is 1 half, 1 over 4 pi squared, mr squared log of mr squared divided by mu squared. So this is the relation between the physical mass and the renormalized mass. So the renormalized mass is as the renormalized coupling. I'm sorry, this is the coupling. Why did I go? Coupling. So these are the parameters. Now we have a CO space which is two-dimensional with two parameters, the coupling and the mass. We need a renormalization scale to specify at which energy scale we work. And you can see that you can take a renormalization scale of order, I don't know, 1 GeV in order to renormalize the mass, the coupling, and study the theory when the mass, the physical mass, is very small by taking this very small. And this over the 1, typically, so that you are under control of the theory. And then this is the result for the physical mass. So you see here that GR and MR are parameters. Mu is a parameter. And the physical mass is a physical observable. So for a given theory, for a given choice of A, C, and B, this is fixed. Okay. And you see that in the same way that the relation for the Reynolds mass coupling says that if you change mu, you have to adjust GR. Now, for the massive theory, if you have to change mu, you have to adjust the renormalized mass in order to have a physical mass, which is a physical quantity fixed. So you have also a beta function for this mass parameter. So now you are going to have two parameters, GR, which is dimensionless, and MR, which is dimension full, but you can divide it by mu squared to have a dimensionless parameter, which is MR squared divided by TR. So those two parameters are dimensionless. Okay? And you can repeat the renormalization of renormalization group. And now you are going to have a beta function for GR and a beta function for TR that can be computed using those formula. Here you have all the elements, compute the beta function. The beta function for GR is unchanged because it doesn't depend on TR, but there is a beta function for TR. So simply, in general, in high energy physics, this is not called, denoted the beta function for the mass. It has another name, which I think is the alpha. So this is a mass normalization function. It's not denoted beta. So this, but tomorrow, we are going to see the discuss the Wilson relation with Wilson renormalization group. And you'll see that this formula and this formula with this coefficient are calculations that you most probably have already done in a statistical mechanics framework. Okay. So, thank you.